I said, no, I really smoked it.
I want to smoke some marijuana.
I also inhaled.
You won't like it.
Unlike some people claim.
Hey, everyone. It's time for Cannabiz Podcast. What is Cannabiz? Do we know? Well, joining me are Craig Anderson and Sean Sanderson. There
yeah,
is
hey, together. Fellas.
This is the Cannabiz Podcast. Now, all of us are, we've got an interest in cannabis and the business of cannabis and recreational, everything involved in it. And we thought, what's the best way to sort of get involved? And the three of us, Sean, Craig, and myself, Wade, decided, you know, canne is it's a Scottish word. I'm based in England. The other guys are based in Canada. And canne is cannot. It cannot. But because there seems to be a lot of cannots happening in the business of cannabis. There's a lot of things happening with this plant as people, as countries go to legalize it, as businesses start to realize the benefits from it, as people do as well. But there's still a lot of cannots coming in. And that's what we want to talk about. So, gentlemen, what are some of the cannots? Craig, I'll start with you. Craig, you're over in Ontario right now. What are some of the big cannots you've sort of seen in the business that we have and in terms of just the cannots of the cannabis lifestyle?
Well, oh, that's a loaded question.
Oh, it is. That's how we do it. Ooh, starting off heavy.
Yeah, well, I have a recent perspective on Canada since just I've been living outside of Canada for about 25 years. Mm-hmm. And so I got a little bit of a look in a few little pockets of the world myself. And coming back to Canada, yeah, it was actually one of the selling points. Not gonna lie,
of course. Yeah.
To moving back was the legalization. Yeah. But yeah, it's an obvious that you can see whether it wasn't well prepared for the change or where the laws are so so vague yet so strict. Yeah, there's obviously a lot of problems over the past couple of years I've seen in Canada, how it's evolving. There's so many dispensaries, mm-hmm. you know, little pockets of it. And yeah, well, what we talked about recently was trying to get into the business ourselves and
yes.
already seeing a lot of roadblocks.
Oh, yes.
Along the way. So, yeah. And interestingly, I lived in Thailand about 6 years. And since I haven't been back since they've gone legal. And that looks like yeah. looks like it's a bit messy over there with that.
And we will get into that one episode. We will talk about that because this is
absolutely
we're all learning about it. And Sean, you're in Alberta right now. You've had a lot of business experience. What are the sort of cannots? Because you've seen a lot in the business world in terms of not only in hospitality with cannabis, recreation, you know, business, CBD, THC. What are some of the big cannots you've also seen and how, you know, sort of your journey and what you've seen in cannabis?
Yeah, I mean, you know, growing up, cannabis went from the dingy basement, the Cheech and Chong type of lifestyle experience to now where it's, you know, there's more dispensaries than there probably are drugstores, restaurants, bars in any, you know, local strip mall community. So it looks like everything's green to go, but yeah, it's definitely not become mainstream from the perspective that, you know, this cannabis business is limited to really these corner stores selling the stuff. You know, you can't get it in hospitality. You can't see it in restaurants. You don't walk into hotels and have access to it. So I think the problem is that they've opened this up, but they've basically said, but you know, you can't do anything with it other than sell it in corner stores. And I think it's ultimately hurting the business from expanding because there's the opportunity for people to enjoy or learn or even you know maybe try it for the first time. It's been limited to the fact that this is something that I think people are maybe not even comfortable going to some of these stores if they don't know anything about it.
Yeah, sure. I mean there is a, because I think for a lot of us and you know we're all sort of around the same age, is that you know when we were younger the idea is, oh, wouldn't it be great if they legalized weed. You know, we all looked at it that way and we saw it as Canadians that it, you know, where I grew up in the farms of Ontario, you know, that's how you got home. You know, like you smoked weed because you know, you'd be better off than drinking. And if you smoke some weed, at least, you know, you could go to the party and you'd still be better. I mean, I'm not condoning, and this is the 80s where we didn't wear seatbelts. So take that. But we've seen it. And then when you start going, I think because you have an ideology of what could happen when they legalize cannabis. And then you think, well, yeah, once that happened, we give it to the man and see what happens. And then you're like, oh, goodness, there has been, you know, quite a bit going on. You know, personally, and again, I'm living in England where it's the same classification as cocaine. Even though we were one of the biggest growers and the idea of legalizing it here, no way. You know, it's just, even though there's so many people smoking it, it is, you walk around London, you smell it everywhere there, but it's also, there's a lot of legalities that go in here, and there's also cultural things. And we're going to get into why it's not happening in Britain in one of them. And one of them is also, you know, Scotland, where the word canne comes from, is Scotland has the highest drug deaths in Europe. And yet there's nothing. Would weed legalizing it help them? I don't know. But we have go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, no, it was just, I had a thought when you were saying, you know, when we were young, and I'd never, we always hoped for it becoming legal, but it was, I honestly didn't think it would ever happen in our lifetime. So that was a surprise. And it was like, there might be something behind this. But for other countries, you know, it's still plausible, I reckon. But
I mean, yeah, and it's, I do want to touch about this, because I think, you know, most of us have been to Amsterdam. Lovely place.
Yeah.
But they have just banned pot. And they've really come down. They're cracking down it, because I think they're getting really upset, mostly with British tourists. A lot of young men going over there for stag parties and just getting wasted. Yeah, those young Brits. But as a result of which, I think that they've also detracted from the fact that it's a cannabis tourist destination. And while other people would kill for it, I think Amsterdam's like, hey, we've got lots of other things. You know, the city's sinking anyway. We don't need a bunch of potheads stumping around. Now they're banning smoking in the red light district. It's illegal for you to smoke cannabis in the red light district.
Well, that's probably a case of, well, they've had it legal. They've had a tourist area for so long, and that's maybe a good case study to show what might happen after a long run of it. And not having so many borders with and laws with it. So,
but I mean, I think some of this is more the binge mentality, right? I mean, I think, if you look at Canada right now, I wouldn't say we have a problem. You don't see people going out on the town getting completely wrecked because they have access to it 24/7 here. But what I mean, it's not, there's no limitation here. So yes, I'm sure there are people doing it on a Friday and Saturday night. I'm sure college kids are picking it up whenever they want, but you don't see that craziness that, you know, Amsterdam's talking about, or the restrictions. I think the problem is it's that they're surrounded by, you know, all these countries that are have strict regulation. So people are coming there at 2 days to have as much as they can, and they're going crazy with it. And I actually think that example, the fact that you have these, you know, dispensaries pretty much everywhere. I mean, you can't not stumble across a dispensary these days. I think it just points to the fact that it's become almost not a big deal. Like, no one even cares that they're there. I mean, and I think that's the good part about the adoption. I think it's the bad part about not creating a business environment to make everything successful. But again, those are two different topics.
I mean,
yeah, that's also their area right in Canada right now. It's, yeah, you can buy it and, you know, take it home. And but there, you know, that I think that's a hope that we're going to get into having, you know, places, public places like a bar where you can go and smoke. And that's, yeah, what's Amsterdam's just has that in a high concentration of it. So that's, yeah, that lends to the binging for sure.
It does. And I mean, to that, though, and I will say, because it's not, and I don't mean to bemoan Britain, but there is problems amongst other countries that this stag party mentality that we have in Britain of just going and debauching someone's town and sort of like, well, that's not something we want. I would also say to it that, you know, we're older and we have seen our generation, I think, was far more hedonistic than this new generation. I would say, you know, like they didn't party. If you look at university students compared to what we used to do, I find that also the younger people maybe just aren't as vivacious, let's say, as we were when it comes to that. Because, you know, there's also that's part of it, you know. But, you know,
I don't even think we still owe party them.
I think we still do, too.
I think so, too. Yeah. Yeah,
The one now, Craig, you had mentioned it, and it's something we've looked at in terms of, and one of the things we've looked at is, you know, would it be great to have a joint, smoke a joint, and have a beer and, you know, a burger? But are a lot of things that are combining. Now, in America, as we know, the U.S. is, you know, federally, it's up and down. Every state has something, which is very difficult. But California, which has obviously been one of the prognosticators of everything, has basically said, look, they're promoting a bill. There's an assemblyman there trying to get a bill passed that basically says you should be able to have a weed smoking area of your restaurant.
Right.
Now, it should be ventilated. It should be separate. But we need to be able to do this to save the hospitality industry. Mm-hmm. Now, it's interesting because no one else does that. And we've looked into this as well. It just seems like it would be a common thing because, you know, I was back in Canada. You know, bar owners that I talked to were very happy about the legalization because it made less violence and people would just go outside, smoke a joint, come back in and get more food. So,
yeah, exactly.
But I'm kind of mixed on this one, though. I mean, I'm mixed from the point of view that I'm a big advocate of getting full smoking situation out of restaurants and bars. Mm-hmm. And I have no problems, you know, people want to go outside and have a cigarette, but I think weed should be no different, but there shouldn't be. I mean, I don't advocate bringing smoking back into hospitality. I think it took a long time to get it out. I mean, you know, nobody wants to be eating. You know, not everybody wants to smoke a joint with you, right? So you shouldn't be able to because you know we're trying to bring it back into hospitality. So I advocate, you know, cannabis into hospitality, whether it's you know, in the way of edibles or other types of substances that can be brought into food at choice. And I'm okay with smoking too, but in the same rule that cigarette smokers have today. And I think cigarette smokers would lose the plot as well if all of a sudden, you know, you could smoke weed, but you couldn't have a cigarette. I mean, that would just be, to me, it'd be hypocritical and quite ridiculous.
Oh yeah, in a restaurant, absolutely. Yeah. But you know, you have lounges where you know people. That's why they're going. It might be. Yeah, you might have to have sections sectioned off that if you don't mind the secondhand smoke, then you can.
It goes with the licensing and as you to both your points, and that if it's got to follow what smoking does. I mean, that's all that I saw. The laws in Ontario when I was back in Canada. Is that you were allowed to smoke wherever smoking was permitted, cigarettes, which is fine. And a lot of bars and restaurants could create smoking areas. You know, there's certain things. Because I mean, like obviously here in England and lots of Europe, cannabis is mixed half and half with tobacco. So in that kind of thing, which in Canada, I'm not saying would get you shot, but I'm saying that someone would take a hockey stick to your legs. That's it. It's not really cool. But there become those health link aspects to it. You're going, okay, well, yes, you can smoke cannabis products, but you can't, you know, the mixture, you know, comes down to it as well. You know, and it's also one of these things that we start looking at it and you go, okay, that was the original intention, I think, you know, because when we've looked at how weed got legalized, decriminalized, right. and there were certain precepts, everyone's like, well, this is what we want to happen. But then we let the government run it. And you know, government are just people trying to do their thing. But if they've never smoked weed or had no basis in business, I think because we've seen differences in different provinces across Canada, each one in Alberta versus BC, Ontario, you sort of go, what's the goal here, guys? Like everyone's got on their own different ways. And the ways you can buy in Alberta are different than the ways you can buy in Quebec or Nova Scotia. So the top down, there's still, I don't think, a lot of talk or focus. Am I seeing crazy in this? Because it just seems like
everything. Honestly, that's what I thought when I heard I was overseas and I heard that Canada was going legal. I thought it was going to be lounges and kind of like incorporated with bars. So yeah, it was a surprise when I came back and it was like, oh, you can just buy it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a start, but it hasn't progressed from that.
Yeah. And I mean, there was also, I think, the idea, because people, you know, a lot of there were investors were like, how come we're not getting our returns on this? Not realizing, of course, that a lot of Canadians have an uncle or a cousin who grows weed. And you're like, so yeah, I could go buy this weed from a store for $200, or mm-hmm. I could buy it from my cousin for $50, and I get a big bag. Yeah. I think, and that's sort of an issue for a lot of them as well. You start looking at, I mean, do you guys, because we talked about how many countries, because there's 5 EU member states, Czechia, Germany, Luxembourg, Malta, and the Netherlands, and Switzerland now, of course, are introducing or planning to introduce new approaches to regulate cannabis for recreational use. Yeah. Germany is still trying to get their stuff together. Unfortunately, Germany's going through a recession right now. So they're still trying to figure things out. Mm. But when you look at it, there are 30 countries in the world that have offered medicinal licenses, and 10 in the world that have recreational to some degree. Out of 195 countries, you know, that's 15%. That's not that bad.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But again, it's going to be because, you know, America, and we've talked about this, you know, because federally it's illegal, that doesn't help people that are, you know, if your employee's, you know, pregnant and you want to get them benefits, or if you want to get, you know, help with your banking, everything's illegal in that case.
Yeah.
Now, in Nevada, the state of Nevada is pushing the federal government to fully legalize marijuana, fully legalize cannabis, because they're saying, you know, no one's able to get health insurance, medical insurance because of it, if they use it, health accounts, and the fact that it's sort of being moved up towards a Schedule One. What do you guys say? I mean, to me, I don't know if America, because America is so divided on so many things, I don't know if they could get, unless there was a war on drugs, I don't know if they could all get together on one thing. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it's very interesting how, if you look at the map, which I did recently, to see where it's legal around the world. Yeah, it's like these little pockets here and there. You look at the states and it's just like a checkerboard kind of thing going on there. To just leave it to the state governments, it looks like it's not working. People are moving to other states. The medicinal, is that how is that throughout the states? So I'm not sure about
I mean, medicinal doesn't make as much money as recreational. You know, when you legalize recreation, I mean, Colorado hit the boom. I mean, there were certain towns that the way that they allocated their spending were able to pay for after school sports for the next 20 years.
Right.
It all depends. You know, like,
you'd think it'd be a no-brainer that the tax is coming in on it. That why not join?
Yeah. I mean, so you got New York State, which, Sean, you were probably there recently. You may have seen it. Now they've been struggling because, you know, they were saying it's illegal, and then people would just open up pot shops anyway because it's New York. You know, forget about it. Screw you. Here's a pot shop, and they just shut them down. But there's still thousands more.
Yeah, I mean, every corner, it originally used to have to go up and ask, you know, you have to go up to the counter and ask the guy. But I can tell you right now, especially you're down, you know, Chinatown, Lower West Side, you know, down in some of these neighborhoods. I mean, every corner store is, you know, got weed advertising. They've got bongs. You just go up and ask for a blunt. I mean, they basically whenever you want it, they're selling it, and it doesn't
really wow.
But yeah, you can get it anytime.
It's amazing. Like, there are certain states like that, and I think California was one of those, because there are just certain people that are just, I'm just going to sell it anyway. And you know, in England, we had 5 busts this week. There was, you know, someone had take a Poundland, which is like a dollar store, and someone had take an old one and turn that into a weed business, which is great. But we've had all these busts banning. But there was a Vietnamese guy. It's his 4th time. He got busted. We have all of these growing and growing, and people are buying it. So it is. I think sometimes depending on the culture, and New York does have that. So many people tightly packed in a small area that it's like, what are you going to do about it? You know, they're not stopping people from shoplifting in San Francisco or New York. So lighting up, I can't see that being difficult as well.
I see this as being a potential, you know, it could be, you know, with the, we're about a year and a half out from the next American election. So we're about the campaign cycle starting probably, you know, October, November, a year out. It'll be full blown campaign cycle. And in a lot of these, unless I recall incorrectly, it was on the last campaign cycle where California included this as one of the voting items. For the state of California. So I see this as the potential where states will be using this. Again, I don't see this as a federal election platform yet, but if you get the majority of states, you know, going to legalize this, then it does push the federal government into a direction of having to make decisions.
It is. And, you know, it would be great, I think, if they did. But the problem is the thing we know with America is, you know, and no offense, America, but you can't agree on guns. You can't agree on abortion. You can't agree on a lot of things statewide. And if you can't agree on those things, you know, how is this plant? The good thing is, I think, and Sean mentioned about this election.
Well, probably if they all
we've got some
together
virile
and
young men. Yeah. We've got young men running the country there. Both those young men running. Lots ahead. Lots of good stuff in those American politics.
The great equalizer. Maybe it becomes the great savior for America, where everybody is, you know, kumbaya, and everyone gets happy again.
Of course, they all sat around and smoked the peace pipe. I bet they'd agree on a lot more things.
That's idealistic, and I think us as those potheads in the '90s going, you know what, man? If we just legalized it. but the other option, I think, what we're seeing is, and that the problem is that fentanyl. And these other pilly druggy stuff that you can buy in boxes from a pharmaceutical, that are just being put into things. I mean, you know, I know a bunch of comedians in California doing the cocaine, as the Charlie, as the kids call it, and it had the fentanyl in it, and they're dead, you know, and so you're getting more of this fentanyl in, you know, as we know, a little bit can kill a neighborhood, but a tiny little bit can make your buzz.
But how is that good for business? You know, like,
addictive.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess it's so addictive that they want a little bit in it.
I hadn't even heard about it until I came back here, and seeing a few articles and doing a little research. Whoa, what the hell is this?
Yeah. I mean, Sean would probably know better, but I would say the West Coast of North America is taking the brunt of it right now. Wow. We haven't seen it as much in the UK. I did see it when I was back in Canada. I did see it in Kitchener, Ontario, where my family is from. And you could see people, you know, just it was an opioid and heroin kind of experience.
I went back after traveling a bit and walked downtown Kitchener, and I was more afraid there than I was.
Oh my gosh. And if you people don't know this, listeners, Craig and I are from Kitchener, Ontario, that when there was a meth epidemic in Kitchener, I was downtown with my girlfriend at the time, and we saw a guy selling meth with his 10-year-old girl, right? Went up to the police and I was like, hey, there's a guy, and they're like, we're not going there. And I was like, we're not going downtown. That's Methville. We're not going there. That's crazy. And I was like, there's a guy selling meth with his kid. And it was until I threatened to call the cops on the cops. They're like, oh, man. I'm like, there's a 10-year-old girl selling meth with her dad. I mean, like, come on. That's Kitchener, by the way.
No, yeah, that was.
They have Oktoberfest every year if you're looking to travel.
does the Oktoberfest parade detour downtown?
I don't
Kitchener
think they
now?
Do. But there's still that opioid crisis. And I mean, you know, look, I left Toronto 20 years ago. It was a different city when I've returned. A lot smellier city, but a lot more aggression, a lot more drugs. And now I you know, the whole idea of gateway drug, to me, it's scientifically unproven. You can't add correlation without causation. But it is interesting that the fentanyl, because it's cheaper than weed. You know, you can get this stuff. You know, if you're getting heroin and stuff like that for like $10 a little bag of something.
What a gamble, though. Wow.
Well, you know, and you know, when I guess with mental health and things failing, it's I don't know. I don't know what it is. But I think what I think one of the questions we're in this podcast we want to start answering too, Can A Biz, is, you know, is there is legalizing weed a better way of dealing with an opioid crisis that's about to come crashing down on people? Are we better to start working now?
My initial answer to yes, but
of course, yeah. I agree.
But I mean, this is the gamble that British Columbia is taking by hearing of 1.5 grams of class A drugs.
Wow.
To me, again, how do you determine if that's the right idea? I mean, how do you determine if that's successful?
Well, I think, the thing is it's a little bit of like this situation's out of control. There's nothing that we've been doing that is making it better. Fentanyl is out of control because it is cheap. It's easy to, it's easy to deal with. So they're just like, let's try this out. Let's put it.
Mm-hmm.
People aren't hiding it, and that it also they believe that this will keep the cost down as well by decriminalizing. It makes it more open, therefore more people can consume or technically sell it, I guess. But again, they're not decriminalizing the sale of it. So
yeah,
it's a little bit of a. I don't know if you saw it on. You probably didn't pick it up out east, but there's a guy that basically, he's I would say ex-homeless, or he's still homeless. He's created basically a booth, a makeshift booth on the side of the street with prices of different drugs that he's selling in 1.5 gram packs. The cops are out there watching it, and of course it's illegal what he's doing.
Whoops.
He's saying, like, I'm all the drugs I have been tested. So I'm at a service to the people on the street and anybody else that wants it, because I know these drugs have all been tested, and therefore, I'm doing something that's good for them. Now, I don't know if we'll ever see it in our lifetime, but does that become the next step beyond, and is the gateway of what cannabis has created, is a legalization of a certain amount of, class one, class A drugs.
I mean, when you do mention that, Switzerland, and I have a friend who used to live there, has a policy that they will test the drugs for you and give them back to you. So you could give them your cocaine, and they'll go, yeah, you've got here is 89%. Here you go.
Awesome.
Now, obviously, it's Switzerland, and they're looking at different ways in terms of that. But there are certain countries, I think, that are not nanny states that have a more approach, an adult approach. I think Uruguay and Portugal, the same thing. Portugal, was had one of the highest heroin rates, death rates in Europe and in the world. And was just like, look, we got to figure this out. And now they're going to the lowest. There is something to be said, I think, for a well thought out federal policy. But when you're just having it and you're just like, here we go, it's legal and do what you want. That becomes difficult, And it's not only that, too. Sports, we know sports are involved. The NBA, which has always had a passive relationship with cannabis. I know people, and I've worked in sports, and that airplanes used to be just full of weed smoke. The league has always basically had a hands-off approach to it. But and basically they're saying, we don't test. We don't test for cannabis. And now the one thing that they have said is, but we are also saying to players, because of the opportunities, you can passively invest in the business of cannabis, provided they aren't sponsoring anything around you or direct sponsoring or sponsoring the league, or that you're smoking before the games.
Okay.
Now, I don't know what's smoking before the games, because I know a few players that are stoned when they play.
Yeah. They are convinced that is enhances their performance.
There are many players that do it, and there, in fact, there's an NFL player named Le'Veon Bell, great running back, played for Pittsburgh for a long time, played for a lot of people. He admitted, he said, I was stoned every game. I was stoned. He's like, when you saw me score two touchdowns, I had blazed a joint beforehand.
Well, what was it back in the day? I remember there was a Canadian snowboarder that...
Ross Reglibiati. And he was he tested positive for cannabis. And I believe it was during, was it the Vancouver? It was one of the Olympics. Yeah. And his whole thing was he was at a party and somebody smoked it. And then he tested positive for it.
He was on Letterman. Smoke, then.
Yeah, secondhand, of course. That's what he said. It was the 90s. You know what?
But was it, did he lose? He lost the medal and got it back. Is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think because he lost it, got it back because it
they decided it wasn't performance enhancing.
It wasn't
drug?
Performance enhancing. No. And that set off a whole thing when I was doing comedy about how we should just have a drug Olympics, which I think we always
have. Why not? Why
you
not?
You would totally. There you go. Magic mushroom shot put. I am watching that. You know?
Yeah, oh, sure, man.
You don't know exactly what's going to happen.
Plethora of events you could have. Wow,
Just all.
That's another episode.
It is. We had so many episodes, and folks, you know, this is just our first episode. We are learning all about this stuff ourselves. In fact, there's some of you might home be going, "You guys are so stupid." Please get in touch. Tell us why we're stupid. Talk to us why we're stupid. We're always here for good discourse and conversation.
Absolutely. Oh, so but it's only NBA where
NBA. Where so is, the NFL, is... I mean, nobody wants to really get behind it. The difficulty that you also have too is that certain states it's legal and certain ones it's not. You know, you're going to Vegas, it's legal, and you can be playing in Florida where it's illegal.
Florida is
talking about legalizing it. But you got Texas as well, other places. Maryland has just been one that's just legalized it. But then you have other places like Rhode Island, for example. Rhode Island has 10 dispensaries in the whole place, and they have 60 growers. And they're like, this isn't working. You know, we need more. So I think there's a top down that we're talking about. But yes, in sports and everything like that. I imagine other sports, you probably couldn't. I'm a golf. Mm-hmm. I think you could. I mean, I've played golf. Yeah. Stoned.
It's absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. There's lots of activities that are enhanced by it.
Yes. But I mean, that's sort of what we want to look at in this podcast and the future of this podcast. I would recommend as well, if anyone has never seen that 1936 movie Reefer Madness. It's very funny. And it's about what happens. I mean, it was back when they were basically racializing the drug, you know. But it's an interesting movie when you start looking at this sort of the morality of what they thought back then. And you know.
I just remember that guy freaking out. Like did they give him direction or they just said, hey, just imagine you're taking a,
yeah.
a trip and go for it.
Well, I mean, you're also looking back then. Back then, you know, cocaine was quite big. They were starting to love that kind of stuff. And also, there was other things getting people high, like lead paint and all the chemicals that they're putting in things. You just start looking at the old Hollywood films. A lot of those, you know, a lot of those movies had, you know, it was lead and asbestos and stuff all over in all the, you know, the stuff that they made. And just thinking, oh, asbestos, this is fine. It's good for your home. Yeah. It's good for your lungs. And then a few years later, it's like, oh, no, this stuff's really bad.
Yeah, that was on the roof of my university dormitory for 2 years.
Nice.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
I had no idea until I heard several years down the road that they cleaned out that dormitory.
The large chunk of water pipes across North America have asbestos in them. They're made with
it. Oh, yeah. Oh, nice.
And they're little fibers and stuff like that. But a lot of the governments don't want to know that because then you're going to have to replace them. And that would be very expensive. So, I mean, in terms of the podcast, folks, what we're doing, and I speak on top of Craig and Sean and myself, is we would love for you to reach out because we're going to start reaching out to you folks. We are very curious.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And the way it's going to work as well is that we'd like to be able to interview people, have these good conversations with some of you folks at home, because, you know, admittedly, we don't know everything.
Not going to pretend.
If we were in our 20s, I might have come across, blah, 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 we know. But, when we get older, you sort of like, we don't. But that's why we want to talk to people in the industry, people that will help out. So we will be tagging you. You'll find us hitting you on Twitter. Because we're very curious and we want to learn from people.
Of you who are on Twitter,
yes,
some of us aren't.
Cannabis is on Twitter.
Well, good. Okay,
We're on the twits. It's hard. There's so many of the social networks. You can't really join. I don't know. Not on the TikToks, kids. I'm sorry. We haven't, I don't think we're, the audience from that one is like 17 anyway.
Well, we're not going to do a TikTok after this.
We can do a TikTok. We should do, we'll do a TikTok. It's called Embarrassing Our Children. Craig, enough to worry, but we'll do Embarrass Your Dogs. But just ones yeah. where you just do a TikTok. Because as soon as I joined it, my daughter's like, Daddy, you're on TikTok. I'm like, how the hell do you know? I want you to take it down. I'm like, okay. So luckily she won't be listening to this podcast.
Did you do something embarrassing?
I always do something embarrassing.
Do share.
I do embarrassing stuff. The one time she came down wearing little crop top and booty shorts. You know, this teenage girl, she's like, isn't this so cute? And I got my scissors out and I made the same outfit. Cut my jeans, cut my shirt. And she was horrified. I'm like, let's make a TikTok. We're such twinsies.
No, that's wrong.
Oh, yeah. And at night, like, my stuff's hanging out, too. You know, it's, I'm a hairy man. Okay. There was some, it wasn't pretty. She definitely was not going to let me walk to the shop.
It was hanging out.
And now you folks are going to need to smoke a joint after that one. Any other closing thoughts from you gentlemen? I've been doing lots of talking, but I am a talking man. Anything from you, Sean, in terms of what you want out of this series and what you're hoping to learn in terms of cannabis?
Yeah, I think for me, cannabis has never been, as you guys probably know, I'm a pretty liberal person when it comes to drugs. But for me, cannabis has been something that I haven't really explored a lot as a drug. Never really found it to be one of my favorites, so I'm kind of interested around what's driven the whole cannabis craze, and as far as you know where it can head. I'm definitely interested from a business perspective. I mean, just because you don't like something doesn't mean you don't want to make money from it. I definitely worldwide, it's at its infancy, so you know it's one of these things you don't want to be too early. And I think that's maybe what we're seeing in Canada for a lot of these. You know, the growers and dispensaries, that a lot of these guys are going to be gone in a year because they wanted to be on first and they thought they were going to make millions. But the reality is that doesn't work in any industry. The first in usually lose. It's the ones that come right after. They're the ones that figure out all the mistakes and make money. So I'm definitely curious about the business, the regulation, and as far as what other countries are doing.
Perfect. And Craig, anything nice from you? So some thoughts.
Well, that's interesting. It's one thing I've learned is how cannabis affects different people in different ways. You know, like Sean just saying, you know, it didn't really do anything for him. But for me, it's like I can't deny, you know, the connection I make when I use it. And I think it needs to be, I'm an advocate for other the world, really, other countries following suit.
China and Russia. No.
I mean, I think as corny as it sounds, the world would be a better place.
I agree.
Let's just put it straight that, you know, it'd be a lot more peaceful. And I think, but yeah, it doesn't affect everybody in the same way, which is interesting. But I can't deny what it does for me, and I'm gonna find those other peoples that out there that it, you know, it does something for. And maybe it's just the key to unlock for those other people. So we'll figure that out too, man.
We'll find out what that key is. Well, I want to thank everyone for listening, and please do get in touch. We will be reaching out to you. Thanks a lot for listening to CannaBiz with Sean, Craig, and Wade.
I said no. I really smoked it, and I also inhaled, unlike some people claim.